My name is Ty French, and these are my rants.
Welcome to Ty Rants.
Hello and welcome back to Ty Rants. My name is Ty French and these are my rants. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. We made it through another week. I hope all of you guys are having an amazing week. My week has just been so crazy because I'm prepping for all of my amazing travels that I've got coming up. You guys know I'm going to Aspen next week. I'm so excited. I haven't seen the snow really at all this year. I went to Lake Arrowhead and attempted to sled, as you guys heard. But I haven't really had like a full winter moment that I can think of. Yeah, I don't really think I have. And so I'm really excited. I love skiing and it'll be really fun. This is my first brand trip that I'm going on without a plus one. And normally I would never agree to go on a brand trip without a plus one, but I love the brand so much and I love Aspen so much. And so, you know, 2024 is the year saying yes. And I'm just putting myself out there. I'm trying new things. And let's be real, I'm not in the position to be saying no to a brand deal. No, it'll be so fun. I learned this after the fact, but I actually know some of the influencers that are going. So it'll be really fun. I'm going to hopefully, I don't know, maybe try and vlog it. I don't know. Don't hold me to that. I have no idea. It's going to be, this is going to be the first trip that I don't have someone with. So it's going to be, you know, my tripod and me in downtown Aspen with a flash. So it'll be very interesting to see how I'm able to get content. But, you know, stay tuned. Obviously, I will keep you guys posted. And then I get back from Aspen and I basically go straight to Guatemala. I'm home for like 7 hours. And so I basically just come home and like change out my suitcase. So I'm really excited. Guatemala will be so fun. I'm going with Billy and our friend Morgan. And we're going to a wedding partially while we're there. We're going to be there for literally like 10 days, which is crazy. I don't think I've ever been on a trip that long. And I cannot even think of the last time that I went on a trip that I didn't do any work on. And this is going to be 10 days. And I mean, obviously, you know, I'll be shooting. I'll probably try and vlog all of the things. But this is the first trip that I've been on that I can think of in so long that will literally just be a trip. Like, I wouldn't say a vacation because I don't think it's going to be relaxing. But it's just going to be so fun. And I haven't been on a trip with Billy literally since my 21st birthday when we went to Cancun. So this will just be so fun. You guys know last year, the only time that I saw Billy was Camp Rat Coachella. And so I'm just so excited that we already have something on the books and that we're going. It's going to be 10 days. I've had 10 days with Billy and I can't even tell you how long. So I'm just so excited. It's going to be so fun. And I'm so excited to come back with all the story times for my little tyrants. Just this week has just been madness, craziness, trying to get everything set up for success for my trips. Because you guys know, I'm not traveling with podcast mics anymore. I learned my lesson and it's not happening anymore. And I just feel like with Guatemala, especially, like that just sounds like a mess. We're going to be moving from like different Airbnbs. So I've got a lot of fun episodes planned for you guys while I'm away. Don't you worry. They're going to be amazing. They're stunning. And one of them is going to be French tips. French tips will be, I'll be gone during that normal time. French tips is pretty much always the second Friday of the month. So yeah, I'll be gone. So if you guys want to submit for French tips, now is the time. Email me podcast@tyfrench.com. And yeah, let me know if you want anything, to any advice, any tips on anything that you got going on in your life. And yeah, I'm going to be recording that before I go. Needless to say, this week I've literally, I'm recording a million podcasts. And I mean, I love it, obviously. But thank God I had a very chill weekend this last weekend because I'm not hungover at all. I didn't really drink at all. And so I just have the energy and the clear mind to come and just rant with my little tyrants. I'm almost out of the woods with my little cough. Are we out of the woods yet? 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 Are we in the clip? I don't know. I'm almost there. And just to be safe and just to help me sleep at night, I've been, you know, taking some of the devil's juice. No, I did not mean tequila. I'm referring to NyQuil. And I've been taking it to just help me with my cough, help me sleep, you know. The cough gets worse at night, so I need, you know, to be put under, basically. And let me tell you, do people get addicted to NyQuil? Because I can get the addiction. Like, oh my gosh, I have not slept harder in a while. I sleep like a rock. I am out like a light. I will take a little sip of NyQuil, turn on a movie, turn on a show. Mama, I don't make it past the opening credits. I don't make it past the song along long. I wake up at 7 a.m. The TV is still on. Noise still on. Didn't hear a thing. It's stunning. It's gorgeous. But I will say, you know, it does make me a little hazy in the morning. It does make it a little hard to get up. And also, I've had a few nights where I'm having some crazy dreams. And, you know, speaking of out of the woods, it's happened. Something that I have been afraid of that has haunted me, the thought of is terrifying, has finally happened to me while I sleep. The Swifties have come for me in my sleep. The Swifties have infiltrated my brain and my thoughts and my consciousness, and they are under attack. When I tell you, I woke up the other morning to the most strange nightmare. I wouldn't even say dream. I won't call it a dream because it was a nightmare. And my friend Kendall, who's been on the podcast before, shout out Kendi. I woke up and it was so weird. I had to write it down. Taylor Swift, she was headlining Coachella. And it was inside an auditorium. Only Kendall and I went. We didn't go with a crew. And somehow, you know, we get there, we wait in line. Don't ask me why I'm waiting in line. I don't know. You guys know I'm a fake Swiftie. I'm a Swiftie. I'm not a Swiftie. No one knows. No one can, you know, answer. But if I saw Taylor Swift, I'd freak out. I don't know. I'm confused as well. But we wait in line. We get in. And when I tell you, Kendall and I are front row. But let me tell you also, this is in a school gymnasium. Coachella is all of a sudden in a school gymnasium this year. And apparently, we didn't have the right wristbands. And we somehow ended up in the rehearsal of Coachella. And, you know, we were like, we're already here. We are going to fake it till we make it. We're going to hide our wrists. We're going to dance along and, you know, jingle along. And let's just say, since we were in the first row, she saw us. And she saw that we did not have the right color of wristbands. Mama, Taylor Swift is so rude. Maybe because I'm so rude to her. In real life, she has so much power and influence that she literally infiltrated my consciousness and is now attacking me while I am just trying to sleep and recover from sickness and a cough. When I tell you, she was such a biatch to Kendall and I, she kicked us out and then somehow we made it back in, but we were literally in the very back. And then Ariana Grande is on stage and she's rehearsing and she was like the surprise guest. She's flying through the sky on a disco ball through rehearsal. And while she's flying through the sky on the disco ball, she spots us in the back and is like, you two, you don't have the right wristbands. You got to get out of here. And this might not sound like a nightmare to, you know, most people or to some people. Not having the right wristband at Coachella and getting kicked out is a nightmare. That's quite literally my nightmare. And wow, this is just coming to me. That might be my subconscious, you know, dealing with the guilt of past trauma and really unpacking it. Wow. Okay. Because 1 year I did go to Coachella and I did scam my way in and I did not have a wristband on. And the entire festival, I was terrified, mortified, and literally going to poop my pants that security was going to see that I didn't have a wristband and they were going to kick me out. This was also the first day that I had veneers and I didn't have my real veneers in yet. I only had the, you know, sample ones or whatever. Like you get like a mold, they fade out your teeth. And then they, while they're making the real teeth, you have like fake teeth in. You're not allowed to bite down on anything. And I was so nervous about the Coachella people kicking me out that I forgot about the rule about not being able to chew. Mama, munch, munch, crunch, crunch. I got a big fat cheeseburger when I finally successfully invaded my way into Coachella. And I scammed the system and I didn't have a wristband. And I thought, celebrate, good time, give me a burger. Dun-dun. No, because I took one bite and mama, almost lost all my teeth. Almost lost all my teeth 10 minutes into Coachella with no wristband. Wow. Okay. So, you know, this dream is a combination of a lot of things. It is a combination of my absolute Taylor slander, the Swifty consciousness coming and invading my brain and, you know, payback. And it is also the guilt I feel of breaking into Coachella and almost losing my teeth. Wow, I just really unpacked a lot of trauma on this Wednesday morning for you guys. Wait, speaking of Coachella, you know, I've been thinking about the lineup since it first came out. And obviously, I read it live for the Tyrants on the podcast. And so I've had a lot of time to think. And we all admit it's not the best lineup that they've ever had. It's also not the largest lineup that they've ever had. However, you know, I'm really just getting to the vibe. I've already got a ticket. I'm going. Coachella's about the vibes. And so I was like, you know, I love Lana Del Rey. Let me listen to some of her music these days and, you know, really get just reacclimated. Because Lana Del Rey isn't typically the artist that I wake up and I press play. And you know what? I've made it a conscious effort to change that. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to press play. I'm going to play Lana Del Rey. I'm going to play Lana Del Rey. Because I want to know all of her music. And I really just want to get into the vibe. I want to get into the lore. And I really just want to get reacclimated to her discography. So that when I'm there in the fields, hammered with Camp Rat, I'm ready to just vibe all the way out. Let me tell you, I know every single one of her songs. Let me tell you, she has so many amazing songs. I'm so freaking excited. Listening to Lana Del Rey has been getting me so excited. And Lana Del Rey, Coachella fans, Lana Del Rey fans. It's not a Venn diagram. It's a circle. And I'm now in that circle. Full out. I'm in the circle. I'm so excited. You know what? 2014 is back. And I might test the limits at Coachella during Lana Del Rey's set about how much 2014 is back. Tyrants, I need your opinion. Do I wear a flower crown to Lana Del Rey's set at Coachella? Yes or no? Before you say no, obviously I'd make it cool, or I would try. I would try and make it cool and unique and modern, but I'm just thinking, you know, 2014 is back. Lana Del Rey's at Coachella. I want to be in a flower crown and a freaking, what's it called? Caftan running through the fields of the desert. And you know what? I just might do that. So stay tuned. I'm going to be wearing pants that are two sizes too small with my big fat ass hanging out with a flower crown, a caftan. So if you guys need any Coachella outfit inspo, that's what I'll be wearing, just so you guys know, if you guys want to match me, or if you see a drunk gay person running around with their ass hanging out and a caftan, beer belly, in a flower crown with flowers falling off, mind your business, because you know that that is the Rat King making his way to Lana Del Rey's set at Coachella. Also, Lana Del Rey, this Skims Valentine's Day shoot is one of the most iconic things I've seen in a while. And I haven't been gagged like that in a while. It was so unpredictable. It was the... How does Kim Kardashian? Because the timing of this campaign to be announced days after she is the headliner of Coachella, and it's a Valentine's Day shoot, and the way that it's shot is just so amazing. It's so Lana Del Rey, but it's also so Skims. Kim Kardashian is one of the smartest business people literally in the world, and you can hate her all you want. You can hate on her. She is literally a marketing genius. She's a marketing whiz. I cannot even imagine how much they had to pay Lana Del Rey to do this, but Lana Del Rey has never looked better. Like, Lana Del Rey needs to contact Kim Kardashian and the Skims team and ask for the usage rights of these photos that Nadia Lee took. She's literally one of my favorite photographers. She needs to ask for the usage rights, and mama, that needs to be the album cover of your next album, because those are the best visuals of Lana Del Rey we've ever seen. It is so stunning. It oh my gosh, maybe I should get a set from there and I should wear that to Coachella with a flower crown and the pants. A little nice little lacy Valentine's Day top, you know. I don't know. Who knows? I haven't looked at the set or the shop yet. It just got dropped yesterday. But Kim Kardashian with Skims continues to amaze me, gag me, shock me. And like the absolute power that Skims has is insane. And the budget that they have, and they are just so ahead of the trend. And honestly, she deserves to be a billionaire. Sorry, I said it. I said it. It's so perfect. It's so smart. It's so inclusive. Like, I am just obsessed. The shoot is literally one of my favorite things I've ever seen. So many brands. There's so many these days. And I don't know. Some of them are flops. Some of them are amazing. Skims, amazing. You're doing amazing, sweetie. However, there are some flops in there. D'Amelio shoes. Need I say more? Need I say more? Need I say more? Now, I fully understand that, you know, it's probably a licensing thing, or I don't know. Their parents are really gunning for it. They need a job. The Hulu show. The D'Amelio show on Hulu is literally torture to watch. It is one of the worst shows I've ever seen. However, I will continue to watch it. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I can't explain why I cannot stop watching it. Yet it is literally one of the worst shows I've ever seen. These women, you know, there are people who are made to be famous, aka Kim Kardashian. There are people who are not meant to be famous. The D'Amelios. And, you know, their shoe line, not the cutest. Millie Bobby Brown. I don't even know what her product is. And that in and of itself tells you that it's a flop. JVN Hair. JVN Hair just sold for like $1 million, which, yes, is a lot of money, but like not really. Like JVN, that kind of seems like a flop. I don't know what happened there. I think like the parent company went bankrupt or something. And you know what? Arianators, sue me. You might hate me for this one. Hot take. I don't know. REM Beauty. Who's buying that? Other than like Ariana Grande stans. Like, who is buying Ariana Grande's makeup just because it's amazing makeup? I haven't heard anyone do it. There might be people out there. I'm not a beauty guru. I just like, out of all the makeup influencers that I follow and that I see on TikTok and stuff, I just never hear them referencing REM Beauty. Literally at all whatsoever. Harry Styles, pleasing. Once again, I just never really hear about it. I never hear anyone using the product. I never hear anyone posting about it. Harry doesn't even post about it. So how good can I be doing? I don't know. The brands that do amazing, though, you know, Skims, obviously top of line. Honestly, all the Kardashian brands are pretty amazing other than like Lemmy and Poosh. Sorry, Court. But like, you know, Kylie Cosmetics, we got Good American, 818. Those are all literally probably some of the most successful celebrity brands there are. You know, Casamigos, George Clooney, amazing. One of my favorite tequilas. Rare, you know, Selena's been in the press a lot these days, but I do think that people really like her beauty line. I've never tried anything from there. Rode, the competitor of Selena Gomez. I think they crush it. They have like a new like bath bomb or something out that I've been seeing all the influencers post about. That seems really cute. And then obviously like Fenty, Savage, House Labs. Those are probably the best celebrity brands I've ever seen. I don't know. They're so good. Speaking of celebrities and brands, Kim Kardashian was just recently renamed an ambassador of Balenciaga. And here's the thing. I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know how I feel about the whole Balenciaga thing, because I think I've talked about it here on the podcast before. And listen, I'm going to say full out, I don't know all the details of it. I definitely at one point got into the conspiracy theory and digging into the details of what was happening and the child's and the shoe and whatever. I just really have to believe that we are better than that as a society, and that they didn't mean any harm, and that it was just, you know, a poorly planned shoot. I don't know how I feel about it. I still wear Balenciaga. I haven't bought any new Balenciaga since the scandal happened, but I spent thousands of dollars on that shit, so I'm going to be wearing it. You bet your ass. But as far as, you know, her doing this right now, I don't know. It just felt kind of random. And, you know, there are so many other celebrities that are ambassadors as well that I will say it is unfair that I think Kim Kardashian gets all the brunt for Balenciaga's drama when she literally had nothing to do with it. And Nicole Kidman is an ambassador for Balenciaga. No one gives her shit. So it'll be interesting to see how Balenciaga kind of unfolds these next few years. I think they've definitely got a long way to go. But I think that they really should have started with a new team. And just, I don't know. I'm also just kind of over Balenciaga these days. I like the stuff that I have. And I mean, I wouldn't have bought them now because they were just so expensive and so dumb. But they have truly lost the plot of fashion. Like, we are purchasing $1,000 pair of sneakers that look like they have been literally through World War II. We are purchasing literally clothes that look like they were picked up from Skid Row. I'm literally not kidding. And I'm not saying that to be funny, like, haha, or like to be offensive to people on Skid Row. Like, they look like they have been run over by a car. It's crazy. I don't know. So, I don't know. I've kind of talked about this on a few episodes lately, but I'm just so over fashion these days. Like, it's Haute Couture week in Paris, and the Schiaparelli show was good, but it's just kind of all been there, done that, seen that, worn it, on to the next. You know, the Chanel show, we've seen it all before. It's the tweed, it's this. I don't know. I'm kind of just so over fashion right now, probably because I'm so bitter because I'm poor and I can't buy any of it. So it's a self-help mechanism to say I hate it because I'll never wear it. If you guys follow me on Instagram, then you would have seen that I finally did it and I've been going to the gym. I'm gonna get my fitness on. And when I tell you, I haven't been doing much. I've been doing a little, you know, a little squat, a little push-up. It was so freaking hard. I'm so out of shape. It's literally insane. And just thinking about when I used to work out with my friend Ash all the time and I was in my fit era, we were squatting 200 pounds. I was doing so much stuff, and looking back on it is just insane because now I literally couldn't do 60 push-ups. Like, I did these like squats, like lunges with weights in my hands, and I could only do 30. And when I tell you, I couldn't walk for 4 days, and I'm not exaggerating, I couldn't sit on the toilet to take a shit. I could not put a shirt on. Like, there, I was so sore. It's crazy. And honestly, it's been so painful, but it has given me a big drive. Like, because realizing that I was so sore made me realize, like, that I was so out of shape. And that's just not even that I want to do it for aesthetics or that I want to look a certain way, which I do because I'm a narcissist, but I just want to be able to, like, go on a hike without being out of breath and without my legs being so sore the next day, without being able to, like, literally take a shit on the toilet. I want to be able to, you know, I don't know, go surfing without my shoulders cramping up and all of these things. And I just really let my muscles go. And if I do that at 26, I'm not going to be able to walk when I'm 80. So you got to put in the work now. And that's what I've been doing. Anyways, I'll keep you guys updated. I cannot be more thankful for my Theragun. I have Theragun, which is like the muscle massagers, however, whatever you call it. But that thing literally saved my life this weekend. I literally Theragunned myself for 2 days straight. That's literally why I had a chill weekend. Not because I chose to, not because I didn't want to drink or I had a lot to do this week. This is God's way of telling me that I got to slow down. But I wanted to go out. I went up, met out with my friends, but I was so freaking tired from the gym. I was so sore. I couldn't move that I literally just wanted to go to bed. So I went home. I was like, I'm done. You guys can go to the bar, have fun, but I'm out of here. And I mean, it all worked out. I'm glad I did, but going to the gym, it ain't an easy feat. Anyways, the Oscar nominations were dropped yesterday. And kind of similar with Fashion Week, I'm just so over all the award shows. It's just like all of them are the exact same. All the same movies are getting awarded for, getting nominated. All the same actors, all the same actresses, it's all the same songs. And it's just feeling so repetitive to me right now. So I don't know. I didn't really care to even like read through all of them. I don't, because who cares? Who cares who was nominated? I just will watch the Oscars and see who wins. But the big takeaway was that Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie were snubbed for Barbie. Meanwhile, America Ferrera got nominated and Ryan Gosling got nominated for best song, LOL. And that's like the whole point of the movie is that, like, you know, people look at men. Blah, blah, blah. However, I really don't think that it was like a huge snub. I think Greta Gerwig is a bigger snub than Margot Robbie. I think Margot did amazing and I loved Barbie, but I don't know if it's like an Oscar nominated best actress, you know, because like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Her acting wasn't like groundbreaking. It wasn't like, you know, this is the movie of the century. This is what I, and like, that's what an Oscar is. Best actress. It's like the movie of the year. But yes, Barbie was the movie of the year, box office wise, aesthetic wise, the press wise, all of those things. But it wasn't like her performance was like so moving. It was about like the stage design and, you know, the directing and all of the song numbers and the this or whatever. It's like, it, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't think that it was like that big of a snub, but people are not having it. And I don't know. I don't think Ryan Gosling will win Oscar for it. I'm shocked that he was even nominated. I'm sure it's going to go to Billie Eilish for What Was I Made For, as it should. But there were a lot of other songs on there that were nominated that I literally have no idea. I've never heard of them. But what I really need to do is, I think the Oscars are in March. So I've got time, but I've got a lot of movies I need to see because I haven't seen half of them. Like Killers of the Flower Moon. What's it called? I don't know. There's literally, the only ones I've seen are Barbie and Oppenheimer. However, in other Barbie news, they just announced yesterday that Barbie, the World Tour Coffee Table Book by Margot Robbie and Andrew Muchamal will be released March 8th. So Andrew, I'm saying that last name so incorrectly. I'm so sorry. M-U-K-A-M-A-L, McCall. Andrew Muchamal. I don't know. Anyways, Barbie the World Tour Coffee Table Book. Andrew is Margot Robbie's stylist and did the whole press tour of all of the Barbie looks, and they did shoots of all the looks and are creating Coffee Table Book. When I tell you, that's genius. That is genius. Genius. And I want one. I literally want a copy because all of those looks were so iconic. I'm sure there are so many that like we don't even remember that we didn't even see, you know, for like after parties or this or that. And I am assuming that they're each photographed, you know, in an artistic way. I don't think they're just using the like press photos or the paparazzi shots. And I am such a bitch for a Coffee Table Book. I am such a sucker. I'm like every other influence in the world. I've got the Tom Ford one. I got the Alexander McQueen one. I love Coffee Table Books. So I will definitely be adding this one to my collection. It'll be released March 8th. So we've got about a month and a half until it's released. But it'll be so exciting to see. Who even cares if Margot was nominated for the Oscar? I mean, I'm sure she does. I'm sure Mattel does. But she stays winning. She stays winning with this role. She got paid so much. I think she got paid like $50 million to do the movie. And she produced it. And so she'll get credit for that if they win for, you know, best movie or whatever. And she stays winning with this press thing. And like, she is a Barbie made out of her now. She's going to get this coffee table book of all these iconic looks. Like, those are the things that are going to live on in the culture and in, you know, society and, you know, in history. Like, who really cares who won Best Actress in the year of 2024? It's going to be known for the Barbie movie. Like, point blank, period. Who cares who wins? Once again, I'm sure she cares. I'm sure Mattel cares. I'm sure, you know, everyone on the team cares. But as a viewer, I personally don't care. I really don't. Now that we're on the topic of movies, we need to, you know, just highlight my gray hair, my wrinkly skin, my old ass age, my broken back, because last Friday, High School Musical was released 18 years ago. 18. You heard that correctly. When I tell you this movie, This movie, give the Oscar to that movie. High School Musical literally shaped a huge part of who I am. It raised me. I was obsessed. I remember the premiere of High School Musical on my television. I remember, you know, we lived in a 3-story house in Orem, Utah, and the only, you know, everyone else, like, they were playing Xbox downstairs in the basement, and then my dad was watching a movie on the main floor, and there was this, like, little den upstairs that had this, like, janky-ass TV, and no one obviously cared to watch High School Musical and would not let me watch it, and so I had to go up into the den, and I literally remember watching it by myself, singing, dancing, twirling, and just living my best life. I would watch it every single time it came on. They had like sing-along versions that had like the words on the screen so you could sing like karaoke. And I was there performing for myself. And it's just so crazy to think about. I mean, that was 18 years ago. So I was 10, and I fully remember that. I remember every single detail of it, and it literally shaped me to who I am. And I look at like my nephew who's like 10, 11, and you know, my friends who have kids that are that age or whatever. And you just look at them now that we're older, you look at kids and you just think, oh my gosh, you're so young. Like, you're not going to remember this or that. But the things that happen to these kids, like, will stick with them for the rest of their life. And it will truly shape, you know, what they believe and how they act and how they think it's appropriate to act to people and their political views and everything. And it just got me thinking, like, that's why it's so important to monitor, like, what kids are watching on screens these days. Obviously, I didn't have iPhones and TikToks or whatever. Like, if I would have seen people on TikTok, you know, making fun of High School Musical or whatever, like, that would have made me, you know, maybe feel insecure to watch it or this, that. Or, I don't know. It's just so crazy to me. And it also got me thinking that, like, kids now and teenagers now, and I mean, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, my few high school tyrants that I have, correct me if I'm wrong, like, what, you guys don't have TV shows to watch and to look forward to and to, like when I was in high school, Pretty Little Liars, you know, Vampire Diaries, I'm talking about Lost shows with literally, they'd come out every single week. And it is like literally like appointment television. You sit down every single week at that time, maybe with your friends, maybe solo. And they have literally 30 episodes in a season. They keep churning them out. It doesn't take 3 years in between each season. Nowadays, what do kids have? They have Euphoria. And each season has 7 episodes and it comes out all at once. And then it takes 4 years to make the new season. Like, no, that is so annoying. It's so frustrating. And that's just how all shows are now. But I'm an adult. I, you know, am on my own. I can handle my own, whatever. I can, you know, binge another show. Who cares? But just thinking about teenagers and kids who, you know, they don't get so much time to watch TV, or, you know, they want to talk about a certain show at school or this. And I don't know, there's just nothing happening. And correct me if I'm wrong once again, but literally every single show nowadays literally has 8 episodes, and it's so frustrating. And that's why I honestly go back and I just binge the classics, Vampire Diaries, Pretty Little Liars, Desperate Housewives, Lost, like those shows that just have so many episodes. Honestly, that's probably why I love reality TV so much. A, because there's so many of them. There's so many different franchises. And there's so many episodes in a season. Like, a season of Beverly Hills Housewives has like 22 episodes. So it's nice. And it's like appointment television. You go every week and you sit down and you do it. Speaking of Housewives, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City finally wrapped up their season with part 3 of the reunion just last night. And also, oh my God, People Magazine reported yesterday that Monica is officially out for the next season. She will not be returning. And honestly, thank God. Sorry, I said it. And I was almost like, after the first 2 parts of the reunion, I was, you know, not giving her grace, but like, I was ready to hear her explanation. And after her explanation today, I know now more than ever that like this is not where she should be. She should not be on the show. Obviously, it was entertaining. She brought a lot to it. But in part two of the reunion, obviously, the big takeaway was like her mom wanted to be a housewife, whatever. Her using that as an excuse to do what she did. I think she's just trying to get the heat off of her. But I don't know. I took a few notes throughout watching it. And her constantly saying that, like, the account was just to take down Jen. It didn't have anything to do with Heather. And then Heather literally showing a message that says, Heather is a grandma who thinks she can get Black D. That is completely uncalled for. It's racist. It's disgusting. And what? Like, there are so many parts of that that are so shocking. And the fact that Monica thinks that it's okay to, whether she said it, whether she reshared it, whether she was part of an account or whatever, and then to lie and manipulate her way onto a show and pretend behind these women's backs that she is their friend, meanwhile she's sharing shit like this online, is so shocking. And I think Heather Gay is MVP. She worded it perfectly. She, you know, because Andy was talking about how shouldn't she get grace because they, you know, whatever. Everyone deserves grace. And Heather was just like, everyone says the worst part about being on reality TV, about being a housewife, about all these things is social media and about being trolls. And then for a troll to manipulate their way to then be on a show and for that person to be a deceiver, manipulator, liar, a stalker driving around Jen's house multiple times. They showed video proof. She had access to Jen's security camera footage. She, all of these things, like there were 20 videos of her with binoculars of her driving by Jen's house. Like that is psychotic. And honestly, I just felt embarrassed for Monica. It gave me the ick. Like she gives me the ick. The fact that she brought a burn book was so cringy. It was so lame. It was so losery. And honestly, it gave me the ick. I was embarrassed for her, honestly. And the fact that anytime the girls would yell at her, you know, revolt back to her, or when they were laughing when she was holding up their burn book, she was like, you guys are so rude. Boo. Boo freaking who? Literally boo who. You know, and then the main other revelation from the reunion was the whole black eye situation. Obviously, Heather Gay finally admitted that it was Jen Shah. She still says that she doesn't know how she got it. Neither does Jen. And they were just drinking a lot. And, you know, she just wanted to cover for her. So it wasn't this big, like, revelation like they were, you know, making it out to be. I do think that people need to give Heather some grace. Which it did seem that, I mean, Andy kind of grilled her for a minute. But then it did seem that all the girls kind of understood why she lied. And I think it's just hard for us to be judging her when we are not in her shoes about the manipulation and the scarcity of Jen Shah. And I don't know, it was just also crazy. Apparently Andy said that Bravo did absolutely not know that Monica was Reality Von Teese, which I believe, but Monica says that the casting directors knew. And Andy said that if they would have known that, he would have never cast her. So I'm going with Andy. I don't think he has any reason to lie. Honestly, Angie Cassidavis might be the MVP for me as well. She is so eloquently spoken. And when she's fighting with you, she is fighting with fact. And she's not just coming at you. My biggest ick from a housewife, and this is why I don't really like Candace from Real Housewives of Potomac, and this is really why, I mean, one of the many reasons why I don't like Monica, when people just attack someone based off of their looks, especially if that has to do with weight, if it has to do with, you know, just like when Candace is always telling Ashley Darby that she has a big forehead and like wide hips or something. She's a mother. And also, what is wrong with big foreheads? Like that is such a weird thing to come someone for. And when Monica keeps calling Lisa Barlow just old and wrinkly and, you know, whatever. Like, that is just so gross. That's just, like, the lowest, like, clapback that you can come back with. Like, you really are so unintelligent that you can't think of anything else. Read me for anything else. Read me for, you know, my bad personality, my clothes, my this, my business, even, if you want. Like, whatever. But don't literally just say that I'm an old, hag and I'm wrinkly and I'm washed up. Like, get a life. Shut up. Like, you are, like Lisa Barlow says, like, you are going to age one day and this is going to bite you in the ass. I don't know. It just, it was a lot. The fact that she was able to log into Jen's security footage and that she would drive by her house is truly just so crazy to me. And the fact that she was like, no, I'm not stalking. I'm not a stalker. And then Andy was like, well, what's stalking? And she's like, when you repeatedly do something. And they're like, we have 20 videos of you repeatedly going to her house with binoculars and you're filming videos of it. One time you went with your daughters in the backseat. Like, that is stalking, whether you want to think so or not. And it's weird. It's crazy. And I don't know. I agree with Heather. Like, how are you supposed to move on with a person like that when they're going to do that to you next? Like, who, someone who's capable of that or just stoops so low and has the energy to do that, I wouldn't want any part in. So I don't know. I'm glad that People Magazine reported that she's not returning. I hope it's true, but I don't know. We'll see. Anyways, I kind of went on a rant that I didn't mean to go on. I mean, I did, I was going to get to that eventually, but back to Disney Channel. Back to Disney Channel, back to my little 10-year-old self. They are rebooting Wizards of Waverly Place with David Henry and with Selena Gomez. Now, I don't know if this is still true, but I'm just going to let you guys know that I do have David Henry's phone number in my phone and that I have gone to dinner with him in a very intimate setting with just me, him, and two other people. Also with Greg Sulkin. Is he also on Wizards of Waverly Place? You know what? I don't really remember the details of it and how I ended up there. And he probably definitely would not remember me. This was right when I first moved to LA. I was probably 19. And yeah, I shot a cover of someone's music and her manager like was friends with David and Greg and wanted us to all like meet up to connect or something. I don't remember. It was long, long, long ago. And nicest guys, like so sweet, so nice. And yeah, I have his phone number. And I don't know if it's still his phone number, but I would like to think it is. And I'm not going to check. And I'm not going to be thirsty and, you know, use it. But just know I have it. And I'm cooler than you. No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, Wizards of Waverly Place. This kind of came out of nowhere. It kind of shocked me. And it's going to be on Disney Channel. So I think it's, you know, cute, but it's not going to be made for us. And I grew up on Wizards of Waverly Place. Like, I love Wizards of Waverly Place, but it's just going to be on Disney Channel. I'm not watching Disney Channel shows. But, like, That's a Raven. Grew up on That's a Raven. Love That's a Raven. I would die for That's a Raven. That's a Raven is my life. Half of my, like, you know, euphemisms or the way that I talk or the way that I act is literally from Raven. And then, you know, they did the reboot, Raven's Home. It just didn't hit. I'm sorry. It didn't hit. I tried to watch an episode or two, but it is because it is for children. It is for the Disney Channel. I need a Disney Plus series. I need it to be, you know, Disney Plus is known for ruining shit because we're supposed to get the Lizzie McGuire one. And they canceled it because they wanted to make Lizzie a hoe. You know what? So don't reboot the show if you're not going to make it age appropriate for the people who grew up watching it. Because those are the people that want to watch it. Those are the people that have the cult audience and the cult commitment to this show. I don't think kids nowadays really care about Selena Gomez even. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how big of a role she has. Like, is she coming back full time? Is it just going to be a cameo? I don't know. We'll see. I will definitely give it a watch and let you guys know. Also, I wonder if the two people that run the Wizards of Waverly Place rewatch podcast are going to be involved. And if not, that is shady. That is shady beans, because that's probably one of the reasons that, you know, Wizards of Waverly Place is back in the conversation. Alex Russo's dad and her friend Harper, the actors who played them, have a rewatch podcast, and Selena Gomez has been on it and stuff. If Selena Gomez has anything to do with the show. I'm sure they're going to have a cameo or they're going to have a part. That would be so rude to not. I do fear that my slander of Disney adults is maybe at an impasse, maybe coming to a halt. One, I love Disney. High School Musical. You know what they need to do? Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I just had a genius idea. They need, why haven't they done this before? They need to make a part at Disney World that, or Disneyland, I don't know the difference. They need to make a section of Disney Channel-ness, Disney Channel Village, Disney Channel Town, Disney Channel Chalet, the Disney Channel Chalet. Oh my God. They need to make a Disney Channel Chalet, and they need to have Hannah Montana's closet. They need to have Raven's room with the swinging bed. They need to have the Subway Station sandwich shop from the Wizards of Waverly Place. They need to have Lizzie McGuire's bedroom. They need to have all of these things and reenactments of things. And, you know, they need to have people dressed up. Just like people go and they see Mickey Mouse. They see Donald Duck. All these things. What about Troy Bolton? I need to go to Disneyland and I want someone dressed up with a shaggy wig and a basketball saying, get your head in the game. You got to get your head in the game. Come on. That's what I want. That's what I want to go to Disneyland. Anyways, I fear my Disney slander of Disney adults is coming to an impasse because I am an adult. And you know what? I might have a little taste to go to Disneyland. I kind of want to go to Disneyland. So if anyone wants to go with me, little tyrant day at Disney, let me know. Because I'm trying to go. I'm trying to go heal my inner child. I'm trying to go ride on a ride, get a pickle, get some fruit, get a hot dog, maybe get some ears, nice little hoodie. I don't know. I just want to go to Disneyland. I'm going to go to Disneyland. And the last time I went with Tezza and the gang, I think last year for her birthday. And it was so fun. It was so fun. And now I'm thinking about going back again. And I'm thinking, okay, if I'm an adult and I'm going to Disneyland once a year, does that make me a Disney adult? And if that makes me a Disney adult, then I'm a hypocrite as well. Because I talk a lot of shit about Disney adults. Now, I'm not the Disney adult that, you know, is crying at Mickey Mouse and knows every detail about Aurora, the Sleeping Beauty, and all these things. No, that is not me. But am I an adult that wants to go to Disneyland? Yes, I do. And you can sue me. You can judge me. You can even call me a hypocrite. I don't care. If you want to go to Disneyland with me, let me know because I'm ready to go. And I'm gonna stop it with the slander because you know what? People are just trying to have fun. Let them live. Let the Disney adults live. You know who's not living these days? Mother God. If you guys have any idea what I'm talking about, I'm so sorry that segue and joke was not appropriate. But I watched the most insane documentary on Max the other day. I've been hearing a lot of people talk about it. And a few of my friends told me about it. And I had to watch it. I had to know what was up. It's called Love Has Won. It's on Max. It's about this cult in Colorado. And basically the cult leader calls herself Mother God. She thinks she's God. God of all creation. At the end of her life, she turns blue. And she mummifies. And she dies. And that's kind of all I knew about it going into it. And that was all I needed to know. I learned enough, and that was intriguing enough for me to watch this. I encourage all of you guys to watch it because it's honestly crazy. It's only 3 parts. Each episode is like an hour, so it's not long. But holy crap. If any of you guys have watched this, I need you guys to DM me and discuss it because the fact that anyone involved in this cult is not in prison is blowing my mind. They literally carried a deceased woman from state to state. She's blue. They live recorded everything, like their whole life. And how did anyone not get involved of, you know, this woman was dying on their watch. They didn't take her to a hospital. They literally watched her drink herself to death, liver failure. She was drinking all this like silver stuff and that's what was making her blue. But I don't know. I watched it and I was shook. I truly was shook that there are people out there that are, for lack of a better word, so dumb that they would see someone on a live stream online on some jerry-rigged dumbass website talking about how they are God. Meanwhile, they are filming on an iPhone 4S and, you know, you need to move to Colorado, give me all of your money and come surrender to me because I'm God. And when you get there, you know what God does? Drink all day, eat chocolate mushrooms, smoke meth, and take ecstasy. No wonder you thought you were God. No wonder you are seeing things. You're on every drug known to man, and you wake up with a bottle of rum next to your bed. What are you talking about? But how are these people? People were forking over thousands of dollars. They had like $300,000 in their bank account. Who out here in these streets, in the world, is so sick that they are believing this and sending money to this person? I just, like, it truly astounds me how dumb people are on the internet. I'm sorry, that's so weird to say. But like, these people were leaving their families, their mothers. One girl gave up her children. This girl had three kids, and she literally left him. Gave him to her mom, said, hasta luego, muchacho. Bye-bye. I'm going to join Mother God. Oh, don't you worry. The cult movie's out. It's out on Max. All the information's out. The Mother God is dead. All the rest of the people, they're still members. They still love her. They miss her. They still do the live streams. They are still continuing on. And you know what? I might eat my words here for a little bit. There's a level to what they were saying in some of the things. And I think with every religion, every cult, you know, you can be convinced if you listen to just segments of it, you know, let go of, you know, I mean, they were very proud of the internet. They loved the internet because it was the way that you could communicate with the world and find out so much information, whatever, which, okay, like that outlook on it. And I can appreciate, you know, wanting to move out in the middle of Colorado and not be a capitalist as pig like me, basically, is what I'm trying to say. I can respect that. I can respect wanting to live with a bunch of real friends and love Earth, humanity. No. Y'all were a bunch of crackheads living in a trailer in Colorado, forking up all your money to this bitch who was spending it all on Amazon CAFTAs or Amazon CAFTAs. What am I trying to say? Caftans. And alcohol. How do you get to, and I mean, I'm not trying to like make fun of these people. I actually feel bad for people. Like, how do you get to that place of desperation to be seen, to be heard, to be loved, that you fall into a cult? And do cult leaders actually believe what they are selling, or do they just love power and attention and people, you know, following them? Do they like that, like, celebrity-esque, leader-esque attention? Because this woman also had kids. This woman had a normal life, managed a McDonald's, had children, and one day got up from a dinner, a birthday dinner, mind you that, with her family, and they never saw her again. And she literally thought she was Mother God. She left her children. She left whatever. Did she actually believe that? Or she had to have. To give all that up, you have to actually think that. And you actually have to be crazy. And, you know, she said it was because one day she tried ecstasy and she learned that, you know, we're in a simulation and this, that, or whatever in the universe. Well, of course you're going to feel like that after you take drugs. But mama, hello, welcome back to reality. It is a crazy documentary. If you guys like documentaries or if you like learning about cults, I highly recommend it. It is called Love Has Won and it's on Max. It is a treat, I'll tell you that much. Anyways, something that's been on my mind a lot lately is how we literally can do nothing right, even if we wanted to. Like, I saw this TikTok about how this new study is out, how there are so many microplastics and more microplastics in plastic bottled water than there is in like tap water from your sink. So they were saying like, that's actually healthier for you. But then I see videos about how your tap water is so bad for you and it doesn't even hydrate you because it doesn't have minerals in it because they filter out so much. And so then drinking like a natural spring water is better for you. So then I get a natural spring water, but they only have natural spring water in plastic water bottles. So then I'm drinking microplastics. But if I get in a glass water bottle, it's literally $10 and then I can afford that because I can't drink 10 water bottles of $10 every day for a month. Like, it is exhausting. And it's like that with everything. Your deodorant has aluminum in it. Your water has plastic in it. You go to a grocery store, you can't carry all your groceries because what do you have? 10 arms? All they have is a plastic bag. What do you want me to do? Carry each individual item to my car and then into my house? Like, I have to get the bag. But you, as a corporation, have access and money and the knowledge that the plastic is terrible for you, yet you continue to use plastic instead of paper bags. And companies still decide to use plastic water bottles, even though we have aluminum bottles. Every single soda comes in an aluminum can. There are water bottles that come out in aluminum cans, whatever, but the majority of them are plastic. But why are these companies keep producing their water bottles in plastic if they know it is literally putting plastic into our water and giving people cancer? If there is an option, I understand that there was another option. You know, whatever. There are plenty of other options. Glass, aluminum, Sweet Greens like now has compostable like cardboard bowls instead of plastic salad bowls. It is just so frustrating and it's so, I don't know, because it's like, what am I going to do? Sure, I can go buy a package of glass water bottles. If I want to spend $300 a month on water, like I can't do that. I don't know. It's just so hard to be sustainable and to be, I mean, sustainable, yes, for the planet, obviously, but also I'm a narcissist. I also want to like take care of myself and I don't want to be ingesting plastic and ingesting all these chemicals. And, you know, I mean, like I said at the top of the episode, I'm drinking NyQuil every night, freaking trying to get over this cold. And it's literally bright cherry red. And every time I drink it, I'm like, wow, there's no way that the chemicals and the medicine in this are naturally bright cherry red. Like there is 100% red food dye in this. And red food dye literally is known to give you cancer. So what do I do? Do I have the cough and stay sick and not be able to sleep? Or do I drink the NyQuil because that's just what it is? I'm sure there are medicines out there that don't have food dye and that don't whatever. But like, I don't know. It's just like, brands, you need to do better. I'm sick of this. And we need to have legislators and legislation that is enacting laws and making these big companies responsible. Like, it should not be legal to bottle waters in plastic if it literally puts plastic in the water and gives you cancer. If we have other materials, more sustainable materials for the ocean, for our planet, for everyone, for your health, make them use that. Like, literally make them use that. They should not have a choice. Why are we putting the fault on individuals and not these huge corporations? Anyway, sorry to end tyrants on such a somber topic, but you know, it's just been on my mind a lot lately and I needed to get it off my chest, okay? But anyways, I'm gonna go chug some NyQuil and I'm just kidding. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, give me a rating and review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It helps me so, so much. We are back Friday with the monthly, totally random episode with Jose Figueroa. It is gonna be so much fun. Can't wait. See you guys on Friday.
Bye.